first, and then we'll jump into the lesson on tonight. And it's going to be pretty interesting, so I'm just kind of looking forward to it. So, but let's pray. Father God, we glorify you, and we just honor you for all that you are and who you are in our lives. We depend on you, upon you wholly, and we put our trust completely in you. We thank you for all things, and we're just excited about this year. This is a wonderful year for the kingdom, and we being a part of it, all of us who are lining up and adjusting to your way in every facet, we're just excited and looking forward to this year and even other years to come, even though there's some times going to be tough. We look forward to it, and we praise you in the name of Yahushua. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, I want to share some things with y'all, and I like sharing information with you because it has an effect on all of them, one batch or another. And so I like being transparent with you as the saints of the kingdom. So I like to be very transparent with you and just kind of share things and so that we can have an understanding about some things. You know, we're right in the middle of some things as far as our project is concerned, specifically here in Dallas. And there's a lot of things going on. I had done some social media things from a perspective to our project because I like to get an understanding of what other people think, and I like, you know, getting ideas and things like that from other people. I'm not the type of individual that believes in always trying to reinvent the wheel. You know, if somebody is good at what they do, then I'd rather just use them instead of trying to figure out how to do it. Unless we can't walk in agreement, then, you know, I'll implement what they do, especially if it works for us. And so there are some things that I have put, you know, again on some connections that I have through social media. And I started to get some response from people after about 24 hours, and I realized what was going on is that people were trying to figure out who I was and if what I was saying was true and all that. And it's just something that Yah is doing with us as a ministry that leaves me at awe because of how he's doing it. You know, anybody can go do what we do when they have millions up on top of millions of dollars. Anybody can go do what we do. But when you do what we're doing, how we have done it, that's when you know it's nothing but Yah. Yah gets all the glory for what's going on with this ministry. You know, I'm nothing but a tool. Elder is nothing but a tool. Each one of you is nothing but a tool, and it's wonderful when we can look back on circumstances and realize that Yah has blessed us to be a tool for his kingdom. That's an exciting thing to be a part of, and to see how he does things and to know that he dealt with each one of our hearts to bring his will to pass in our lives. One thing I was sharing with Elder once we finished this year, I said, Yah really used you in a perspective because the photo that I took of this finished room here, the photo that I took of it was a photo that Yah showed me by the Spirit months ago, and I remember looking at what I was looking at as I took the photo. But I was in the spirit realm because what Yah does with me And there are some things that there's something that I'm going to release on tomorrow to confirm what I'm saying right now. So remember it once I release it out to the public. What Yah does with me is he showed me things in big pictures. And then when he showed me the finished product, then he will allow me from that point on to take the steps necessary in order to bring that to pass that he has decreed. Okay, that he has decreed. And so that's where my faith is. My faith is not in just, you know, like most Christians say, well, I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to walk by faith. You know, no, when I walk by faith based upon the information God gives me. And when you look at Hebrews 11, it's the same way. It says, you know, for by faith. I will just go there and start there. When you look at faith from a perspective of our nation, everything is different from the way, most everything is different from the way that it's being taught. And so when you look at Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what people do is take verse 1 now and say, well, faith is always what you can't see. You're hopeful. You just have to step out. You just have to step out and trust y'all. You have to step out and trust y'all. But when you look at the true meaning of it, and you go to verse 2, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. For by faith they obtained it. Now, when you look at the things that's associated with this, it starts to reveal all the things associated with faith from a perspective of our ancestors. It says, verse 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto Yah a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Yah testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Then it said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because Yah had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased Yah. Okay? Verse 6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to Yah must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay? Then as you continue to go on, it says, by faith Noah being warned of certain things. So it lets me know that faith is not necessarily me just going out saying, I hope that Yah show up. But faith now is being in the, oh my bad, but faith now is being in a position where Yah can speak to me, and I move based upon what he's spoken. In other words, when I have clear information from Yah, faith is when I step out on the information by faith, nor being warned. It wasn't like Noah said, I think I'll build an ark and hope it rains. Like what people translate in verse 1. It's not like Noah said, well, you know what? I've never seen rain before. Yah hadn't said it's going to rain, but I just feel like I need to build an ark. And I'm going to build an ark, and I'm going to step out in faith and build this ark and hope that Yah just make it rain. That ain't what faith is about. Noah being warned, there was information that he got from Yah. Once he got that information, he stood on the information and operated according to that information, that faith. I like what my pastor said, and you know, he said this before, and I'll just leave it to this. I almost said something, but I'm not. My pastor made a statement before. He said, what most people call faith is not faith at all. He says, high expectation off of wrong information. In other words, they're misinformed, and based upon their misinformation, they have high expectancy, but it's not really faith. It's just misinformed information that they have launched out there and start doing because they classified it as faith. And so when you look at faith now, it starts to give scriptures to really give the detail that everyone in this faith walk with Yah had some type of revealing. They had some type of revelation about what they were doing that pleased Yah and made Yah classify that as patriarch who would give us an example of what faith really is. So now when you look at it, verse 7 now, it says, by faith, Noah being warned of things not seen as yet, never knowing what rain was. Now, it hadn't rained on the earth then. Never knowing what rain is, not understanding anything about how the deep, at least at this point, how the deep would flow up from the, because there are a lot of things that we understand in Scripture that Noah may not have been privy to as far as the knowledge. I say may not because I don't know for sure. But there were things in amazement from what the Scriptures say. There were things that he had not seen, but when Yah spoke it to him, he moved. By now, faith, verse 7, Noah being warned of Yah of things not as yet, not seen as yet, move with fear. People have to learn how to move when Yah speaks. So it says he moved with fear now, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So we're seeing what's in harmony with what Paul taught, in Romans about faith. So here you have our patriarchs now being classified as righteous based upon their faith in God, not the law, because the law was not given to Noah. Okay, so you're still seeing them being classified as righteous, although the law had been revealed to them, pointing us eventually to Christ, that righteousness will be through him by faith. So the type that our fathers walked in, you see this same manifestation through Christ, where we have faith in him, we are now classified as righteous. Okay. Now, verse 8 now said, by faith Abraham, when he was called out into a place, Abraham didn't just say, I'm just going to go over here. I see Canaan. I'm going to go to Canaan, and I'm just going to say, I believe God has given me this land. I believe he's given me this land. He says, I believe that God has given me this land, and I'm going to walk over here, and everywhere my feet tread upon is mine. You know how Christians do? It's mine, and so I'm going to name it. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to lay hands on it. I'm going to put it up on my faith board. I'm going to do all these things by faith, but yet y'all hadn't said nothing. So our father Abraham now, who is a perfect example by which we should follow by faith now, when he was called to go in out into a place where he should, after receive for an inheritance, obey. And he went out not knowing whether he went. When Yah told Abraham, get thee to a place, he didn't, and I'll show you. You can go look at that in Genesis chapter 12. Get to a place, and I'll show you where that place is. Abraham then said, well, you show me where that place is, and then I'll go. When Yah spoke to him, that's when he moved. Those are the examples of the patriarchs of faith that we should understand how to operate in faith ourselves today. Do you have Noah, never having seen rain before, build the ark, because Yah said it. You have Abraham, never knowing about any place where he was supposed to go, went just because Yah said no. Then verse 9 says, by faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with whom of the same promise. You're seeing all of these so-called patriarchs of faith, whereby they move based upon something that Yah had said. Verse 11 now. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. I think she's about 90, I believe. being past age because she chose him faithful, which had promised. And Sarah said, you know what? I'm 90 years old. I think I'm going to have him baby. And I'm going to believe by faith that God is going to give me a baby. Sarah moved in faith based upon Yah making a promise. We have to learn how to move when Yah said move, because everything that he promised is going to be exactly like he said it. If we can't trust Yah for him to do it exactly like he said it, then it's not faith. And we go all the way back up to verse 6 now. But without it now, it is impossible to please Yah. For he that cometh to Yah, whatever Yah has promised us, we that now come to him about what he has promised, we got to believe that he's able to do what he said. We can't be wishy-washy on 1 minute. 1 minute we believe that he said what he said. The next minute we don't believe that he said what he said. John said, without faith now, it is impossible to please me. And I'm going to tell you about the Yah that I know. If he ain't pleased, there's nothing going down. And I did the anger. I like to talk, you know, slang when I'm preaching sometimes. It's more effective to me. It's just my thing, you know. So we have to understand that as we get to verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength. Now what is faith? Trusting in Yah. Faith is trusting in Yah. So how do we trust in Yah? What is trusting in Yah? By what?
Leaving whatever the circumstances
are in hand. I need more than that. What is faith? What is trusting in Yah? How can you show me that you trust Yah? What is it that you can do to show me that you trust Yah?
He brought you out of one situation,
he can bring you out another. Give me more information. How can I prove, or what is it that I can do to show that I trust in Yah? How can I determine if you trust in Yah? Everybody said they have faith. You ask anybody if they have faith. I don't care if they follow Yah or not. You ask any person if they have faith. Majority of the people in the audience will raise their hand and say, yeah, I have faith. What is it?
When you...
That's a good point that you made, but I want more information. Yes, my brother.
When you do what he's told you to do.
Okay. That's true. How would you explain to a person, master class, how would you explain to a person what trusting in Yah is? How would you explain it? We're talking about faith. How would you explain faith to a person? Okay, how would you explain it?
Well, again, when God speaks to you, you believe that he's going to do what he said. And you act upon it.
Okay. When do you act upon it? Now, I want to add another question then. When do you act upon it?
What did she say?
She said something, but it was not coincided with what you had said, although she was still right. It's just that I was on another question, and so I'll come back to her. Okay. So you're saying, Monica, say what you said again.
When God speaks to you, you believe he's going to do what he said, and you act upon what he said, because just to say you believe it without acting upon it is not going to happen.
Because James 2 said faith without works is dead. In other words,
right.
If we say we rely on Yah, then there should be some actions that show up with that. And when did you say that action should take place?
When he said
to do it. So are you implying that Noah didn't build the ark immediately, or are you implying that he started immediately?
When God told him to do it.
When Yah told him to do it, he started to do it, or did he say, I'm going to wait till 2 weeks before the flood?
No, So let's go to Abraham now. Abraham now, when he was told, did Abraham say, well, I'm gonna wait 50 years later, and then I'm going to go do what y'all said? The Bible says, the Bible gives the impression that every time y'all spoke something to someone, they immediately moved on what he said.
May I have something to say?
Yes.
When it's been a number of years ago, it was a conversation that you and I and Alan had, and I was questioning, you know, when you ask God for something and it doesn't happen, then people lose faith and they become bitter. And I was asking along those lines, and you made the comment that when we ask, we have to ask according to God's will, which, you know, that was true. But, you know, having been indoctrinated with a different train of thought, that was kind of hard for me to digest, but I accepted it based on what you said, and that's what I've lived by since then. You know, we can ask what we will, but it has to be asked within the will of God, because if it's not God's will, it's not going to happen. So my sister's been in the hospital since December the 20th, and you know everybody's bombarding heaven with prayers and all of that kind of thing. And the prayer I prayed was, I don't know what she needs. I know what I want for her, but I don't know what she needs. So I went back to that same prayer, like you said. I asked the Lord to help her according to his will, because he knows what she needs way better than I do. I could be asking for one thing, and that could mess up some other things. And I take comfort in praying that simple prayer. So, you know, things got worse, and, you know, seemingly going downhill. But, you know, I maintained what I'd asked for him. He hadn't spoken and said anything to me one way or the other. But just based on my desire, I asked him according to his will. So the one day I was, you know, just praying, asking the Lord to help her. And he brought to my mind back in October when you taught us about the pineal gland. I did some research on that after you taught us, and one of the things that said can cause that gland to be exhausted is if you are a caregiver for elderly people. Excuse me. My son knows I'm just an emotional person. But this is all good. This is not with sadness at all that, you know, I'm crying here. It's because I'm grateful. So what was I saying?
You were talking about a caregiver for the elderly.
Okay, so that's what it said. And it said, because, you know, I had been struggling, because I usually, you know, I'm upbeat and I'm doing everything, and, you know, I got more energy than other people my age, but it's like I was just struggling. It's just like, what is it? I don't understand. And so one of the questions I asked you during that time was, your thoughts about taking herbs to help strengthen that gland, because, you know, it's a gland in the body just like other glands and organs in the body that you take herbs to strengthen. And I found the herb and I started taking it, and I got great results. It's like I'm back to my old self again. So as I was praying for her, he reminded me of that, and he said, take that and give to her. And he said the results were going to be immediate. I couldn't wait to get to the hospital the next day, because he spoke it and I believed it. But you know, you're still kind of out there, because what if you do this and then it doesn't, the results aren't immediate. I dismissed all of that. I said, I'm going to do it and I'm going to know if it worked, because when I do it, because he said it, it's going to work.
Okay, now here's the thing, and that's why I came into a rap when you said that point. Here's the problem with most people. When y'all said something, they want all of the results at that particular time. What did the scripture say? The scripture says in verse 8 from the perspective of Abraham, when Yah spoke to him and said he was called out, he was called to go out, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out in a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in that land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundations whose builder and maker is Yah. So when you look at faith walk, the majority of the time, the reason why people don't see results is because they think that what Yah tells them to do, they have a mental picture of what that end result is. When it comes to me, I can care less what the end result is. When Yah tells me to move, my primary focal point is move. I'm not concerned what's at the end of that movement. I'm not concerned as far as how the journey of that movement is going to take place. When Yah said move, my first order is work. Faith without works is dead. When he said move, my first response is move. I'm like my father Abraham. I don't know where I'm going. I don't even care where I'm going. I don't even care about the results. So I'm going to use Mama Cole for an example. If I were her, I could care less than end results. My faith is in moving with Yah on what Yah told me to do. The end result is his problem, not mine. So me moving out, take her to Ur, that's all I'm concerned about. I could take her that herb and I'm just using this as an example. I can take her that herb and be curled up and she's dead in the morning. I done what I was supposed to do. Because that's what faith is. People have this mental disposition of the end result of faith, but that's not your concern. When God said move, that's when you move. When God shows you something, you move on what you're showing, not caring the end result. Abraham went into a territory not even knowing where he was going. God said, go, and I'll show you. You go to Genesis 12, he said, get thee out of thy, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Abraham didn't know where that was. Abraham's primary goal when Yah spoke to him was immediately to get away from his family and from his kindred. Why should Yah show him Canaan and he's still around his folks? And so I wanted her to give that because I wanted to encourage her from this perspective. Mama, because your only concern is I did what Yah told me to do. I could care less about the outcome. I know what I want, but yet let Yah will be done. See, because when it's all said and done, that may have been about nothing but Mama Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yah said, oh, she went and took the money just like I said. Mm-hmm. Let me give her another assignment. So the herb, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just pouring out as Yah give it. So the earth may not have anything to do with her sister. It's obedience act. All she has to do is move, or all we have to do is move when Yah say something. And when Yah tell us to move, there ain't no time to be sitting around saying, well, I wonder how it's going to happen when I move. When Yah tell me to move, I move. He tell me to jump, I jump. If he tell whatever he tell me to do, I don't care how it sounds, how it looks, and from a perspective of anybody else, I'm moving. Whatever he tell me to do, my actions correspond with what he tells me to do, and that brings it to the category of worse faith because my complete reliance is on him. Yah, you told me to go. I'm being Abraham now. If you told me to go, I could care less. I could die on my journey. I done what you told me. Maybe you were sending me to my death. I could care less. my primary concern is I did what you told me to do. And every step you tell me, that's the step that I'm going to take. And I'm trying to keep from getting ahead what I've already written. Because one of the things that I realize is this. When Yah speaks things to you, he confirms it along your journey. He's not going to confirm it so that you can go do it. He confirmed that you go do. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you now. He's going to put it out there tomorrow. It's kind of like a puzzle. No one ever gets a finished puzzle. Go buy one. If it's finished, somebody already had it. And play with it, and I put it together, put it back in the box. Faith walk is like a puzzle. Yah commands us to move, and when we move, we pick up the pieces along the way, and when we look back on it or put all those pieces together, we see the total picture of what he has called us to do. He has never shown anybody, he's never given anybody the full picture and then said, "I don't do it." What I mean by the full picture, in other words, they got everything that they need in order to do what they do, and then they just go out and it's pretty easy. Well, I know what I got to do. John said, when you trust me, he said, I will tell you just like your father Abraham, you go. And when you go, you'll see a piece. And as you continue to see those pieces, when it's all said and done, you got a whole puzzle. By faith, our patriarchs, men and women, were informed, they were shown or told certain things, and as they grew, he told Sarah, you're going to be pregnant. You're going to birth a son of the promise. What did Sarah was saying? What he said, and she said, well, I'm going to just sit here and wait for this child to come out. No, that's an action on Abraham at this. She could sit around and say, oh, Lord, you know, I'm dead down there. Some kind of way this thing going to just happen. No, she had to correspond with what y'all said. As she did it, that promise manifested, and she didn't get to see it to full completion. See, our problem is we think we got to see everything. One thing I told a friend of mine before he died, I said, he was like, do you think that I ever get to see my dream come to pass as far as ministry is concerned? I said, yeah. I said, but this is how you got to learn how to see. I said, you got to realize that your vision may come to pass through me. See, our problem is we think we got to be the one to see everything come to pass. No, Yah may allow us to start from out and somebody else to finish it. I'm just talking in totality as far as how to see things through faith. So there are some things that I'm doing that my friend Bishop always wants to do. And he's going to get the credit for it because there's information that he shared with me that I'm implementing all because it was something that Yah had given him to do but wanted me to finish it. So when you look at faith, faith is very challenging because I'm going to say it just like I heard the Spirit. Faith is very challenging because it has boundaries. Most people who use faith, they don't want it to have boundaries. That's the spirit. That's the satanic spirit. That's to do what thou will. And so they want to attach faith to everything that they want to do. And that's why God said you don't get it because you ask for the wrong reason. Faith has boundaries around it. And I like how Yah holds my faith within his boundaries. Because if he didn't hold my faith within his boundaries, I have a whole bunch of candy cookies and donuts. But he keeps my faith within the boundaries of his will because he knows what I need better than I do. But most people want Yah to allow faith to manifest according to their own boundaries. And it's limited. We want all the mansions, all the cars, all the houses, all the money. We want all the everything, but we don't want to put no work with it. See, your ability to work is the boundaries by which your faith is going to be manifested. So you have all these people that talk about faith, but they don't want to put no action with it. And Yah said, that faith without works is dead. So you have people that operate outside the boundaries of their faith. and they have high expectations after something that God's not saying. And then they wonder why they're constantly having issues and constantly struggling with all these things. It's because they're always trying to do something that's outside the boundaries of what they're willing to work to do. I'm believing God by faith to be. Hadn't put a pen to nothing, hadn't put action to nothing, hadn't put a leg to nothing, but believing Yah for everything. Yah said, you have not, because you ask not. But when you do ask me, you ask for wrong reasons, amiss. And the reason why you ask for wrong things is because you're about consuming things upon your own love. It's what you want. It's not what I want for you. So I have learned how to keep my faith within the boundaries of the ability Yah has given me to trust him and carry them out. I'm not going to go build an American Airlines Center unless Yah stretched me out and give me instructions to do so. Because now I'm just sitting myself and be stressed out. The reason people are stressed is because they're operating outside the boundaries by which Yah has given them as far as faith is concerned. Yah hadn't informed, or he's not a part of it. That's why the circumstances is the way that it is, because we're now operating according to the boundaries of what we believe. And Yah said, I'm not there. Yah said, when I bless you, there's no sorrow with it. Now, as we continue to deal with this now, my permission, a bunch of things that is within the vein of the lesson that we're dealing with. Through our faith now, we acting out on faith. There are some things that we have to understand that's about to happen as far as ministry is concerned. This is the year. This is the year of grace. It's manifested as the year of grace. This is the year where everyone. I said this at the beginning of the year, and I'm saying it again. That this is the year where everything that Yah has spoken, it needs to be implemented this year. This is the year to complete things that you know Yah has spoken to you. If Yah has said to you, this is the year to complete it. This is the year to complete our project. I made it clear. Making it clear to everybody. This is the year to complete our project, or I'm getting rid of it. This is the time frame to do it. Okay? Now, from Yah speaking certain things, that's why I know it's going to be completed. Now, from that perspective, and I'll tell you what he's saying to me. He's like, you're not going to get rid of it. This is the year to complete it. I say certain things in order to give you an understanding of how I think, but at the same time, how I'm commanded. So when I say that, God immediately said, well, you're not going to get rid of it because you're going to complete it. Because it's what I told you to do. But I understand within the laws that we're operating in, we have to complete this project this year because next year is going to be crazy. 2018 is going to be crazy. You better get done what you got to get done. 2018 is the year of chaos and judgment. It's going to be chaotic. But then there are certain things that we will be able to operate in where we'll be fine as long as we stay within faith with Yah, but complete trust, reliance upon Yah. Put our life in Yah's hands, put our trust in him in every facet. Okay, now, so let's say this. Coach had mentioned things from the perspective of health. It's vitally important for each one of us to get ourselves as close to Yah as we can from a perspective of health. There were some things that I had mentioned on last week, and I said the title was It Works For Me. When I went on, Yah had given me a revelation about
what happens with the physical body. What I said in a nutshell is that we don't catch the flu during winter. We already have the virus, and what happens during the winter is because it's different forms of virus and mucus and stuff like that, that those are living entities within us that desires to live in us and to thrive on us. But there are certain things that happen when the weather changes and it makes them uncomfortable. Illnesses and diseases are more comfortable when it's warm, when it's a warmer climate. When it turns cold, they get uncomfortable, and so they flare up. So people think they caught the flu, but in reality, they already had the virus. It was just living in them comfortable, and that cold weather made them uncomfortable, so they decided to try to find them another host. So I have to explain it that way to give you an understanding of how these things work and why the throat starts getting sore and the nose starts running when the weather changes. It's because that's those mucus type of virus saying, I got to get out of here because it's no longer comfortable in this host. And so Elder had, I had talked to him about those things I had written, and so he came back, and what I had said to him, and he'll tell you this, my family can tell you this, I was saying for months, I said, you know what? I said, it's something about eggs, I can't eat eggs. And I said, I can't eat eggs. I said, y'all just told me to start staying away from eggs. Now, when he said that, I didn't turn around and say, well, I'm going to eat eggs another month. I immediately started staying away from eggs. And so, once I started staying away from eggs, I started seeing things happen from the perspective of my health. My health started getting better. And I'm like, okay, and I used to tell Elder, I said, man, I don't know what it is about eggs, but I just can't eat them. I said, I love them, though. I love the omelets. I love how, I can make a bad omelet, boy. I said, I love them, but I just can't eat them. Okay, I just can't eat them. And through the article and things, the research that he's done, he comes to the he reveals that in this article that eggs is one of the worst things you can eat as far as flaring up mucus. It's one of the worst things that you can eat when you cook it. I think when you cook it a certain way or something like that, it can be detrimental to your health from the perspective of mucus. Now, one of the things that y'all revealed to me, and was confirmed by another doctor, that all forms of disease is mucus associated with. A is mucus associated with. That's why they said people get pneumonia who have A. It's mucus. All of it is mucus associated. Colds, cancers, all these different things are mucus associated with it. Amoeba has mucus association. If you get rid of the mucus, you can heal. You can be healed of whatever disease it is. And as the scripture points out to us, that the herbs that God has given us that we can consume that will take care of those issues, there are certain things that we can eat that will go and attack mucus in certain areas and will cause us to manifest as far as healing. So Monica mentioned about taking certain herbs to her sister to help with their condition, that is a confirmation also as far as what God is saying to us. There are certain things that we're going to have to do. We love it, and that's the thing about it. We're going to have to move by faith according to what God has said immediately when it comes down out here. Why? Because things are going to be getting ready to get crazy. The scripture said we're not going to be able to buy or sell except we take the mark of the beast. But there are things that's going to be put in place if we operate in wisdom, we're not going to be concerned with. But one of the things we got to do is get our physical body as healthy as we can, so we don't have to depend on things that will make us have to buy and sell. We got to get to that point. And so in this article, one of the things, or some of the things that it was mentioned, and Elder and I talked about it last night as we were working out, is that certain foods, especially us as a nation of Israel, certain foods we eat that's healthy, but we kill it. We kill it. And one of the things I try to tell people, I'll be like, okay, you cook greens until it's wine.
There ain't nothing but slimy greens. There ain't no life in it. You cooked all the life out of it, and it has no nutrition whatsoever. And so, in reality, what we're eating that we think is healthy, we've now turned it into something unhealthy because we have taken everything from it that God has put in it to cause us to have health. So we cook greens too long, we cook cabbage too long, we cook all these different things that is classified as health. We cook it all too long, and the life is gone out of it, and then we consume it. Thus adding two other forms of mucus is based upon this article, confirming the things that y'all have shown. That's why I love about y'all. He always confirms what he shows. A lot of things he said to me, it makes no sense to me whatsoever, but I move immediately, and things always, he always confirms or give more pieces as I move into what he's saying. Now, this is what I realized. Eggs is in just about everything. Now, here's where it benefits me from. You know I love some candy cookies and cakes. You know I love some cakes and pies. You put a pie on that egg, but two slices to a pie. Straight down the middle, eat one half now, the other half later. So I tell people all the time, oh, you put a pie in front of me. It's going to be gone probably within a day or two because I'm just going to eat two slices. We have one now and another half later. Straight down the middle, two slices of pie. Well, y'all are saying all of that mucus associated. Anything that has those eggs in it, huh? And also sugar. Sugar forms the mucus too, right? All these things, the mucus are in it. And then people are saying, why am I sick? It's not that you got it necessarily, although we know they're doing things in the atmosphere. We can see them spraying chemtrailing all day long. So they're getting us from that end, and then we're turning around and consuming the things, or consuming other stuff that's harmful to the body that's developing mucus. So that flu that we now got because it's cold comes from that sugar and all that other stuff that we've eaten, taking in the mucus, and it sits dormant until it's ready to come out because it's uncomfortable from that cold. So long, you didn't catch the flu during the winter time. You caught it when you would eat eggs and sugar and all that other stuff, and it established all those viruses and bad stuff in your body. Now it's just trying to get out of you since it's cold. But you go get a Band-Aid and it's called a flu shot and think that it's a remedy. So we got to operate in the wisdom of young. We got to start preparing our food right. We got to start eating it more so when it's alive. Oh, it ain't going to taste as good from the traditional Hebrew perspective. You know, because we like it burnt, fried, dyed, and crisp, and cooked to you know, it's soft and melt in your mouth. But all of it's dead. And if we continue to eat dead stuff, then guess what dead stuff only eventually do us? Die us. So what I want to start doing is eating not for taste, but for life. So that means there's a lot of stuff that I got to eat that don't taste necessarily good, but I got to consume it because it brings life to my physical body. Each one of us that got conditions going on with our physical body, what Yah is saying to us is that if we line up with things according to his will and consume things the way he wants us to do, it will bring healing in every area or every issue we got going on in here. What I mean by in here to all the ears. So, in a nutshell, and I mean, jump in any time you want to.
Yeah, it could confirm. You were showing me that earlier today. It was the same thing based on what I had sent you. Even based on what I was reading, it's like, do you understand these things? You understand that a lot of the stuff that's systematic is all of the processes that are in place that make it convenient, and not only is it convenient, but it's the same stuff that's not good for you because it's convenient how it's done. And so he was showing me exactly what you said. If you start doing these certain things, then you'll get the results.
See, here's what I realized, and this is what we have to stop making excuses on. Now, we're still in the vein of faith. By faith, we got to move. It amazes me how many people trust Yah for good health, but not working. I want to work. my goal is every year to look younger. And I believe that my father, Abraham, was 99 years old, and my mother, Sarah, was 90 years old, and they had a child. I believe they had to be, they, you know, by the scripture says their body now being dead, but, they, you know, when you read the scripture, all them men who was trying to get Sarah back in the day, she must have been some good-looking 90-year-old. For everywhere they to go, that Abraham had to turn around and say, can you pretend that you're my sister so they don't kill me? She had been some kind of looker. So what Yah is saying to us, and this is what we have to understand, we got to line up with Yah. We got to start preparing the food, like the way that we understand, and there are things that... That's in this order that's there. It don't matter. It's okay to cook the food a little bit, but don't kill the stuff that's in it. That's nutritional. That's what we're doing. And you have to realize once you cook the green too long, it's now mucus. You're now taking. So I'm gonna speak a language that you can understand. Once you cook the green long enough, you have now just taken the food because you're consuming things that bring about the mucus that will cause all these issues to happen in our body. And we have to understand these laws and start to walk by faith and operate within these laws. So I'm going to be something else because I can't eat eggs, so that means I can't eat sweets no more. I can't eat those pies. I can't eat all the things that I love and just knock it out in one sitting. Y'all said, you can't do it no more, boy. I'm doing something different with you. And if you go be this man of faith that I call you to be, you're going to have to represent me everywhere. So I can't allow you to do these things anymore. And to prove it to you, I'm going to manifest stuff in you that makes you uncomfortable when you do. So I be transparent with you because y'all know I don't be caring. When I eat eggs, the mucus get around my rear end and I have hemorrhoids. I used to think it was from lifting heavy weights. You know, because I'm strong as heck, so I can lift a lot of heavy weight. So I thought that was a problem with him raw, but y'all was like, no, you have too much mucus. And that mucus is getting out of your body every way it can escape. And when you get too much in you, it pushes out him raw because you have too much moisture around the rear end, and that's the problem with you have with the him raw. So that's me now, son. I think about all your issues. And we have to learn how to make sure that we line up with what Yah has us to do because we're in it into a time frame where we have to understand how to operate and to be able to do these things. The system is dependent upon us to depend upon it. They can't make you take a mark. But they can't starve you. They can make you accept it, don't they?
I just want to use the example. The old saying is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But I've also heard it said you can salt his oats. So it's kind of like, you know, I can't make you drink, but I can do everything I can to make you want to drink, which is kind of what the system do. They can't force you, but they can do everything they can to try to make you want what they got to offer.
The mark of the beast is not a chip that they're going to force you to take. If they do put a chip in us, it's going to be because we're going to be so willing to do it because there is salt in our oats, and we need to drink water. It's just using a cliche. In other words, oats don't normally have salt in it. But if I need you to drink the water, then I'm going to put a little substance in there that will increase your thirst. So since I want you to depend on me and I want to control you, then what I'll do is start putting things in your diet that will force you to have to depend on me with medicine and all these different things. And you have to depend on me to come do it. You can't survive on eating dandelions. You know the stuff that grow out in your yard? You know they sell it in herb stores, right? You know they tell you it's a weed, but in reality it's a herb. The dandelion. You know the little thing that grow out with the little ball on it? And you should get them as kids and blow them. That is edible. They sell it at health stores. They put it in teas and all that. But then they'll tell you it's a weed killer. See, during this time, regardless of what they do, they're not going to be able to destroy the ground from producing because y'all got control of that. He got to take care of Israel. He may send manna from heaven, but he's not going to let them poison the soil to the point to where we can't benefit from it because that's his baby. He going to let man tear up what he invented, but man can't destroy what Yah has created. The earth is as live. Remember when we talked about that? It will heal itself. That's what I'm realizing. Man is trying to poison it to control us, but Yah said, don't worry about that. It is designed to heal itself, just like your body is designed to heal itself.
Pastor, can I share something real quick?
Yes, you can.
We have, just to kind of go along with what you said about our bodies healing itself, I met a cardiologist here in Houston at a conference, and he did a program for us, and we were talking about, like the jobs we're doing, like these health fairs for, like, people who work in warehouses, and they were giving out, like, bonuses for people to come and go get a health exam. Well, he had a patient that was 26 years old. She was she just came in because she wanted the bonus, but when they did her screening, they found out that only, I think, 90% of her heart was actually functioning. And so they called her in to bring her in, like, for some more testing. And so she had two options. She was either going to have to do quadruple bypass surgery, or she was going to have to do this plan that they have in Houston. They have this it's a restaurant, but they work with the hospital for heart patients. And basically she went cold turkey. She was only able to eat, like, vegetables. Like, some of them were cooked, you know, just a little bit, but wherever she was able to get most of the nutrients from it. So we were able to see a picture of her heart prior to her participating in the little restaurant type thing, because they did all her foods for her. It's expensive, but I mean, they did it. So they did. She went through the process and for 5 months, and they showed us a picture. Her heart actually healed itself. Like, it looked like she never had any issues prior to her prior to, you know, like, the procedure or anything. So I mean, our bodies are designed to heal themselves. So we are supposed to put in foods that are going to actually help us, you know, benefit and give us the nutrients that we need so that it can heal itself.
Now, that was the confirmation from scientific evidence. Now, I'm telling you, y'all, we are doing things that's causing us to be in the position that we in. There is not any part of your body that can heal itself if we give it what it needs. Mankind just don't want us to understand that information. You can grow, you can fill in cavities, all that.
It's twofold. Not only give it what it needs, by forcing it what it don't need.
Exactly. Because you get some people, you know, they turn around and eat something healthy, and then turn around and, like me, eat pie. Or if it's something that it don't need and things like that. And that's what you tell them to. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I had went to the dentist. And the dentist asked me, he said, "What are you doing to your teeth?" I'm like, "Why?" He said, "Please. He had two cavities that had started, but they, for some reason, they didn't develop all the way." And I started laughing. I said, "Well, I brushed my teeth with coconut oil." And he was like, "What?" I thought I brushed my teeth with 100%, you know, organic coconut oil. He said, "Well, all I got to say is something stop your cavities from manifesting like they should have." And I remember you telling us that the coconut oil.
That's what Mama Cooper.
Yes.
Somehow she said she started brushing her teeth with it, and first her gums start bleeding, then they stop bleeding, and then her teeth start getting white and all that. The healing is in the trees. Everything we need is here in its natural form.
And that was on the 29th of last month. And I was like, and it kind of made me laugh. I was like, oh, okay.
So I'm telling you, y'all, we have to move with Yah in every facet. When Yah says it, we can't sit around and start trying to now, we got to get out of that. We got to quit using faith from a religious perspective and use it according to what Hebrews 11 really is saying. All of our patriarchs were spoken to, and they moved and got the result. And so Yah is speaking to us about him. Okay, get away from all these different products that you thought was healthy and good for you. What did you say in school when they gave them five food groups and all that kind of stuff? The majority of the stuff in the food group is what that article said, we don't need to be eating food.
Yeah, it's wrong. I watched something else that was saying when they came out with that food pyramid, it was all wrong. It was doing stuff that, if you start seeing things manifest that didn't happen before that food pyramid was established. And so it's like the stuff that they told you is good is really not good.
The eggs and the milk and all these different things that they would force us to eat in school,
mm-hmm.
All that stuff, when you look at it, it is all something that, in a nutshell, is really dead stuff. From how it's being prepared and other things that's associated with it. It is all stuff that's designed. You have to realize that this is a system that is designed to start preparing us for what it's getting ready to do. So it started doing it 30, 40, 50 years, even longer than that ago, and we were thinking that these were things that were put in place for our benefit. No, it was designed to get us in a position to where we are now, depending on it for him.
Pastor?
Go ahead.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was doing further reading about the pineal. It said that using fluoride in toothpaste negatively affects the pineal, especially in children.
Yeah. Fluoride in toothpaste. Now, what do they tell us?
Oh, and they know it, because if you, that baby water they have in the store, they have fluoride in it.
Fluoride. All these different things. So we have to use wisdom. One thing that I noticed even as far as, remember your thought, one thing I noticed even as far as Zoe was concerned when my daughter, Heidi, was carrying us, is that they constantly talked about how perfect her organ was developing because all she drank was spring water. When Heidi was carrying Zoe, all she consumed was healthy food and drank spring water. She didn't drink anything else. And so when I first went, they were talking about how perfect her heart. They were talking about everything about her development was perfect. And they kept saying, "What are y'all doing? What do y'all do? What's y'all diet? What is it that y'all doing?" We operate according to the kingdom. We eat based upon what the scripture tells us to eat. Now what we have to do is perfect that, what we understand. Y'all say, okay, your journey now, I told you to get away from these things and start following in Leviticus 11, get the results first, then come back and teach the church. When I came back and talked to church, y'all start lining up. Now y'all said, okay, since you understand and you have lined up with that, let me give you the next puzzle now. Now in certain ways you need to fix that you know that's good for you. Quit killing the vegetables. Quit killing the meat. Quit killing all these different things and cooking all the nutrients out of it and prepare whether you're eating to stay healthy instead of just eating to be full. Eat to live instead of eating to be full.
Another way they put it, eat to live and not live to eat.
Amen. That's an even better way. And that's what most of us do. We just live and eat. All right, eat, man. Let's go eat. What we eat is killing us. And the system knows it and wants us to depend on it. So we got to change. As a matter of fact, my brother-in-law is getting ready to go down. I'm going to turn half of the yard, if not all of it, into a garden. Y'all said it's time. So we're young. So I'm getting back to the fundamentals. I knew all these things when I was a kid. I'm getting back to some things. And y'all, I got this green thorn. If I get a hold of things and tend to it, it'll grow like crazy. And so y'all said, okay, get back to some of these things. and the ministry has property, and you want to launch from there. Yeah, because one thing we realize, I'm just running my soul. One thing we realize is this. You realize the same thing. You notice whenever it gets cold, don't be no fool, does it? When it turns cold, run to the store. You might get you some old bread with three slices in it on the shelf, because they done ran through everything else. So God's like, why be concerned and put yourself dependent upon the system like that? Start preparing and storing. And pickling and doing all these things that you saw your ancestors do, your immediate ancestors, your mother, your grandfather, your father, all these things. Start doing these things that they did. Y'all very seldom went to the store back then. Get back to basic, because it's going to be needed. We got a big storage, two big storage facilities. We got in Money Grove, also up here. We use it for something. That's why I believe now y'all won't let us get rid of it. Because it's a storage facility and some other things that will take that will be needed if it comes down to it. All right, what you gonna say?
Two things. One, telling on myself. So now what y'all was
saying? If I tell on me, I tell on everybody else.
Now what y'all was showing me earlier today? It's funny. It's like I guess y'all know what he's doing. I wasn't putting. It's making sense now. So it was like certain things that I understood, but I didn't know the reason behind it, and so it's like I didn't implement it because I didn't know the reason behind it. And so what he was showing me was, okay, you just got to implement it. You know what I mean? If it's something that he's leading you to do, you just got to implement it, right? Even if I don't understand the reason why, right? So it's certain things, it's like now, okay, now I know the reason. Okay, I need to implement it. But what he was showing me was, whether you know the reason or not, you need to implement it. That's the first thing. The second thing was we are also caught up into everything clean. But it's clean from the wrong perspective. So all of the things that we do, the processes that we do to so-called clean stuff kills it.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that be anything from sugar, all those kind of things, sugar grows naturally in its natural state. It may be okay, but it's what we do to refine it and do all these things is what kills it and make it not be good.
Anybody ever eat sugar cane before? I used to eat a lot as a kid. My father used to take me to sugarcane fields, and he would cut them up and just give them to me, and I'd walk around with a cane, you know, 2 or 3 feet long and just chew on it. That was like my candy. And I would just chew the natural sugarcane from that stalk of sugarcane.
And so what he was showing me, anything, what I basically saw was anything, if it's to the point to where it's white, that means it's not natural.
Right.
Whatever it is, whether that be flour, sugar, salt, in its natural form, it's not that color. So in their endeavor to make it pure is what gets us in trouble, because all of the stuff that comes with it naturally is the stuff that we need that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, from what you're saying, I'm trying to think of a color to describe what sugar cane actually looks like when you open it up from a cane. It reminds, oh man.
I'm going to take a picture. I got a piece of sugar cane right here on my cabinet. I'm going to send it to you right now.
Send it to me. And I remember when I used to eat it. I'm trying to think, matter of fact, the texture of sugar cane is juicy. The cane.
Well, this one is a little dried up because I've been having it for this was a little dried up because I've been having it for about a month. I was in Louisiana and I got it when I was there.
Okay, but when my dad used to get it and give it to me, he would cut it fresh out of the field. When he would give it to me and I would open it up, it would be the sugar cane, the sugar in it, or the meat in the cane would be marshed like a watermelon. I bite it and juice come out of it. That sugar is actually fake. And so it reminded you more of some type of vegetable or a fruit-like texture than what we get in that powder form.
Well, just even to piggyback off of that, it's I also know that in sugarcane, not only does it have the stuff that makes it sweet, but it has chromium. It has other things that your body needs in order to subside with the sweetness. And so what somebody along the way is said, you know, we don't need all this other stuff. We're going to isolate what makes it sweet. And all of this other stuff is stuff that you need to go with the sweetness to balance it out. Mm-hmm. And so it's like what I realize more and more now, it's like how y'all implement things is in balance. And anytime we do anything to so-called refine it, it takes the balance away.
Yeah, I didn't know sugarcane was like a meaty substance that was juicy like a fruit. Yeah, I would peel it off, and when I would peel it off, I would chew it, and the juice was running in my mouth, and I would chew on the inside of it. I just didn't want to eat the inside, but I would chew it all like gum, and then once I get all the juice out, I'd spit out the rest of it. That's how we ate sugar. So it's a liquid. Sugar is a liquid, not a powder.
Keep saying, so as you said, it's even a process, right? You had to chew it. You couldn't get it all at once. And so those kinds of things stop your blood sugar from spiking and all this kind of stuff, because I can't just...
Yeah, because you're moving the cup, pouring it on a cup, and it's 2 inches off to the top, and you got 6 inches of water in there, and you just consume it all. And so, like you said, it doesn't rush your sugar. It's true. Where is it? Put it back in. Put it back in, and we'll
chill. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, because people see it on the video.
I sent a picture.
Yeah, I see it. And matter of fact, I don't know if y'all see it, but this is what sugar cane looked like.
Yeah, I remember.
And you would cut it and open it up. Yeah, this is how it looks right
here. So now, once you have peeled all the skin off, I would not recommend washing this, because when you wash it, what happens is the water will soak into the fibers and it will dilute the sweetness. So you never want to wash your sugarcane after you cut it, because unless you want it to be less sweet.
Follow me on my phone, I can share it with everybody. The people who watch the video can actually see it. And from that,
and
that's why I would chew it.
Or she can email it to you and put it on there, but that's not making it the video.
Okay, it's not. Okay.
It's just the TV
only.
Okay, so do both.
Now, once you have the sugarcane, all you do is basically take this piece and stick it inside your mouth and chew on it and then suck the juice out. You don't want to be swallowing the entire piece. You just want to get the juice out.
And that's how I ate them. I would chew it, spit out the juice. That's how I would look. I would chew it out.
What you're going to have left is these very fibrous tissue, and I hope it's not too gross for anybody, but I don't think it is. This is what you're going to have left. It's very dry. You're not supposed to eat this. You're supposed to just suck the juice out.
That's what I would do.
Very, very, very hard to digest.
Okay,
if you're living in the tropical areas or...
Okay. Now from that perspective, let's see if we get the video back in. Now from that perspective, we understand how things are really supposed to be in this natural state. It's like I said, as a kid, I had a wonderful life as a kid, and it allowed me to experience some things to prepare me for what I'm born to do. And so I had the privilege of eating things in its natural state, so I know right off when something is wrong with it. My body is so in tune with Yah and how I ate things as a kid that immediately I know if it's wrong the minute I put it in my mouth. I know it immediately because I know what the real stuff I had experiences with the real thing.
sugar in its natural state, honey, all these different things in its natural state. So when I get anything that is designed to kill the body, my body immediately says, we hurt, we struggling, let's stop. Okay. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys. There are some other things I want to share with you, but Yah had us to deal with what we needed to. And I'll forward that video so that all of you can look and see what sugarcane is. All of you who want to see it, you know, those who aren't here physically be able to see it. I'm forwarding it to everyone else so they'll be able to see it. But y'all, we got to put action with our faith in every area. We got to move immediately. When I die, there are things that he's saying to us, we got to understand. We got to move. Okay, we got to move. Last little thing as I get ready to close. There's an organization who, like I said, I'll be transparent with you about things. There's an organization who called me, and they're prepared to offer $3 million for our building. You know why? Because they know that there's something, y'all, I'm not coming from a perspective of their knowledge. The enemy knows that there's a wonderful thing we're fixing to do. So what they're trying to do is offer us a peanut to keep us from really seeing the big prize that y'all had for us. Offer me $3 million, starting at $3 million. They ain't going to tell me something. Well, you call us when you're ready to sell. Russ, I didn't call you to buy a woman to sell. So what I'm going to call you back for? Yeah, so, but that's all I wanted to share with you, and we'll go ahead and stop right there. Father, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for all that you have revealed to us. Just give us the wisdom to follow you in every facet of our lives, and we put our trust in you. And just bless us to put action with it, and we'll see all the wonderful things take place that you have designed for us. And we praise you in the name of Yahushua, and we do pray. Amen.
Alrighty. One more comment.
Yeah.
I have a spiritual tool chest that I've developed, and I got another tool to go in it tonight when you said don't worry about the outcome. That was very powerful and something I needed, so it's now in my spiritual tool chest.
Amen. Amen.
Ask her, what was that herb that she was the one that gave?